For being here with us this morning. This is going to be a really exciting, really different Sunday, and so I want you to just buckle your seatbelt because we're going to have some fun today. It's going to be really good and really different and really awesome. We've been in a message series for the past several weeks. We've been talking about, if we can't expect to be any better or any different than we are unless we actually change some of the ways we do things. If we never change our habits, if we never alter our habits, then we can't expect to ever be any better or do any better than we are right now. And all of us know that, right? And so we've been talking about spiritual disciplines, these practices that we can do that will make us more healthy spiritually. Just like there are practices that we can put in place that will make us more healthy physically or more healthy emotionally, there are practices we can put in place that will make us more healthy spiritually. And we talked about prayer as one of those spiritual disciplines. We talked about studying the Word of God and how that as a spiritual discipline will help to shape us up, right? And so that's kind of what we've been talking about. And we've been thinking about those attributes that we want, that we need in our lives as we seek to become Christ-like. And as a pastor, I've been thinking about all of the attributes that make me an amazing pastor. I've been making lists, and just thinking about what are all the characteristics that make me an amazing pastor. And of the many great qualities that I have, I've finally centered on the essential one that I believe makes me an amazing pastor. The fundamental thing that makes me an amazing pastor. It's my humility. My humility is by far my greatest quality. Of all my great qualities, humility is my greatest quality. And I really feel like that I have really learned that over the course of the past several. Obviously, I'm joking, right? Obviously, I'm joking. But if I am being honest with you for a moment, in a moment of just real vulnerability, I would have to confess to you that sometimes I do struggle with humility, which is shocking to me because usually people who struggle with humility have reasons for struggling with it, and I don't. I don't have really anything, but I struggle with it sometimes. I struggle when I feel like someone has disrespected me, right? That's a real issue. My pride just wells up, and sometimes I struggle to see other people's needs around me because I'm kind of enthralled with myself. Sometimes I'm self-centered and selfish sometimes, and that's because of pride, and it's because sometimes I struggle with humility. And here's the thing, if we're being honest, a lot of us here, probably all of us in some form or fashion, struggle with humility. In fact, if there was one person in the audience today who would say, I know I don't struggle with humility, that's probably the one with the biggest problem, right? And so that's the thing about humility. It's this kind of weird catch-22. Whenever we focus on it, whenever we really try to develop it, it so quickly slides into pride that it's really difficult to develop this characteristic in our heart. And so thankfully, God has given us a spiritual discipline that helps to form humility in our lives. It helps to shape us into people who are humble. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So if you would, you can turn in your Bibles. We're going to be spending some time in Philippians chapter 2 this morning. And so as you're kind of turning there, and as you're getting over to Philippians chapter 2, I want to tell you that the first thing that we'll see in this passage that we're going to look at this morning is that humility is essential. Paul, in the book of Philippians, he's writing to the church in Philippi, and he's telling them that if the gospel has really done its work in their lives, then some things must be true of them. If the gospel is really rooted in their hearts, then there will be some things that are true. He tells them, make my heart truly happy by living out the gospel that I preached, right? Being united, being focused on the same purpose. And then in verse 3, he says this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Anybody just kind of want to move their toes back a little bit because you feel like Paul just stomped right in the big middle of them? He understands, Paul does, that humility is at the core of the gospel. In fact, he goes on to describe just how deeply this characteristic is rooted in the gospel. Look at what he says in verse 5. He tells the church in Philippi, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And here it is. He's going to describe the attitude Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Paul wants the church of Philippi to be like Jesus, to have the same attitude that Jesus had. And here's what he tells them. Christ's core, according to this passage, the core of who he was humility. Christ, who had all authority given to him, humbled himself. And friends, I've got to tell you, there's no way to be Christ-like without being humble. It's the central truth of the gospel. It's the central characteristic of Christianity. Humility may be keeping someone here this morning from receiving the gospel. You have to be humble to receive the gospel because you have to be able to admit that you need the gospel. And there's maybe someone here this morning who's never surrendered their heart and their life to Christ because surrender is a hard word for you. You don't surrender to anyone anytime. And it's hard for you to admit that maybe you need Jesus, that maybe you can't manage your own life, that maybe you need to turn your life over to Christ. Here's what I can tell you. One day, we learn, all of us, the lesson that we can't manage it on our own. One day, we will be confronted with the truth that we need Jesus. I just am praying that all of us will be confronted with that truth and we will make the decision to surrender our heart and lives to Christ in this life while we still have the opportunity. Look at John chapter 13 with me, if you would. John chapter 13. Jesus is nearing the end of his ministry, and he's spending the last few moments that he can with his disciples. And in John chapter 13, they're gathered together for the final meal that they will eat together. And then John chapter 13, verse 3, here's what the Gospel of John records. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God, and that he would return to God. So, he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. Y'all, there is so much going on in this passage, but what I want to point out to you is that authority for Jesus meant humbling himself. It was because of his authority, because of who he was, that he humbled himself. You know what keeps us from humbling ourselves? You know what keeps us acting out of our pride? Insecurity. When we're insecure, we need to make sure we impress everybody. We want to make sure everybody else knows that we've got it together, that we are in charge. And so when we're insecure, we act in a prideful way. When we understand that authority, that we have authority from God, that it's rooted in Him, that our identity is rooted in Him, we're able to be humble, we're able to serve. The essential characteristic of Jesus was His humility. And so it has to be the essential characteristic of us as well if we call ourselves Christians, little Christs, if we want to claim the name of Jesus. But Jesus didn't just demand it. He didn't just say, hey guys, be humble. He because it's so essential, he actually gives us instruction on how to be humble. And here it is. Humility comes from service. Humility comes from service. You remember what Paul said about Jesus in Philippians? We just read it. In Philippians 2:6, Paul says this, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the position of a slave and was born as a human being. Friends, Jesus' whole function as Messiah and Savior is summed up in this one phrase. He made himself a slave. His humble service to humanity, his radical obedience to God, that was the central characteristic of who he was as a Messiah. He demonstrates that to his disciples in his last interaction with them before the cross. He demonstrates it to all humanity because he's obedient, ultimately and finally, even to death on the cross. He gave himself up, he humbled himself and served all the way to the point of death. That's who Jesus was. That's who Jesus is. But he didn't just tell his disciples, I want you to be humble. He acts it out for them. He shows them how to do it. He washes their feet. Luke's record of this exact same interaction begins with the disciples having an argument about which among them was the greatest. Did you know that? And I think it probably started because they all sat down at the table, and those that you didn't sit down at the table, you reclined at a table. The table was down low on the ground, and everybody would recline. So you would lean on an elbow on a pillow next to the table, and your legs would lay out behind you, right? And so everybody's doing this, everybody's leaning around the table, and all of a sudden, someone was like, man, y'all's feet is funky. You know, that's what they started saying. Somebody needs to wash y'all's feet. That's what everybody said. Your feet are stinky. Your feet are stinky. Everybody's talking about it. Somebody needs to wash everybody's feet. You know, the problem was that foot washing was the job of the servant, right? The servant in the household was the one that would wash the feet. And so as they were talking about how everybody's feet was funky and everybody needed some foot washing, right? Then they were like, well, who should do it? And I'm sure the conversation went something like this. I'm sure one of them was like, it was probably Peter. Peter's probably like, hey, James, your name is literally James the Lesser, right? Clearly you should be washing all of our feet, right? Somebody else was like, hey, Matt, you're a tax collector. Nobody likes you, okay? Wash everyone's feet, right? Alpheus? I mean, who is that? If your dad's name is Alpheus, you should wash everybody's feet, right? I'm sure there was a lot of argument going on among them about which one of them should be the one who has to wash everybody's feet. And guys, this is who we are. We laugh at that, but honestly, it's who we are. We will get into a situation where we can see that there's a need. We know that there's a need, something that needs to happen, and we think, well, somebody ought to do something about that, you know? Man, y'all's feet are stinky, you know? Somebody needs to do something about that. Not me, though. I got some more important things that I'm doing, you know? We got to find somebody who's got some time. We got to find somebody whose responsibilities are not as serious and heavy as mine. We need to find a lesser who can take care of that issue, right? That's sometimes how we operate. But Jesus just dives right into that moment. I'll tell you who's going to wash everybody's feet. Me. There's a whole interaction that goes on there that's pretty hilarious with Peter. I'm not going to get into that. But in verse 12, this is what Jesus says. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again. He sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Jesus washes their feet, then he tells them to do the same. Serving one another, practicing service, will make them like the one who taught them to do it in the first place. Jesus is saying, be like me, serve each other. Be like me, wash each other's feet. The only way to be Christ-like is to be humble. And the only way to be humble is to serve. One time I was leading worship at a camp, and they had this big outdoor tabernacle where we met every night. And I was walking through there one day, and I just noticed, man, that place was trash. There was trash everywhere. And teenagers, it's unbelievable. Like, the trash can would be like 3 feet from where the chair was, and there was water bottles and everything, and half-drunk water bottles, which really chaps my head. You know what I mean? There's just trash everywhere. And I was like, I can't believe those youth, you know, I can't believe those youth not picking up their trash. Look at all this trash around here. How could those youth not pick up the trash, you know? And the Lord God just got right in the middle of me. The Lord was like, something wrong with your hands? I feel like you could pick up some trash. And so I started picking up trash and putting it in the, you know what I mean? And while I was doing that, there was a group of kids who were coming. They were auditioning to be in like a talent show at the end of the, you know what I mean? So they come into the deal, all these kids audition to be in the talent show. They come into the deal. I'm back there picking up trash. They just sat up on the front row and waited for me to finish picking up the trash and come back there. You know what I mean? Because it didn't even occur to them. It didn't, just like it didn't occur to me. Maybe I should pick up the trash. And that's what it means to serve. And that's what it means to be Christ-like. We see a need, and we humble ourselves to meet a need. That's what service does. It sees a need, and it meets a need. Service is others-focused. We see a need that someone else has. We're not thinking about the needs that we have. We're focused on their needs. Service actually requires us to put our needs on the back burner in order to help someone else. And that practice causes us to emulate Christ. And that's what we're talking about today. For some of us, the way for us to be healthy in Christ Jesus is to serve. Did you know service is something that all of us should be doing? And so we've got to find, our question is not, will we serve? Our question is, how do we serve? Because clearly that's the call that God has placed on us. So I want you this morning to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you a need that someone has around you. Maybe in your family, maybe your next door neighbor, maybe someone at your work or at school. Ask God to reveal a need to you and then meet it. And how about this? Join a serve team. Did you know we have 29 serve teams at our church? Did you know that? We have all kinds of opportunities for you to serve. And look, the ways that we serve here help us to do church, okay? But that's not why we have serve teams. We have serve teams because all of us in this room need to practice the spiritual discipline of service because we care about you, because we want for you to grow in Christ. We have provided 29 different ways that you can plug in and serve so that you and I can become more Christ-like. And we don't want you to miss that opportunity. And so here's what we're going to do this morning, okay? Sometimes when we meet together as a church, sometimes I'll preach, you know, and we'll sing some songs together, and then I'll preach, and then as our response, we'll have communion. Or maybe as our response, sometimes we'll sing another song, and people can come down to the front. You've been in churches where all that's happened, or people can go for prayer over to where our prayer team is stationed, right? We'll have all different ways that you can respond to the truth of the gospel. Today, here's how we're going to respond to the truth of the gospel. We're going to walk down the hall to the youth center, and in that youth center, there are booths set up for all 29 of our serve teams. And we're going to walk around, and we're going to do three things. The first thing we're going to do is we're just going to see all of the incredible ways that people from our church are serving. We're just going to get excited about what our church does, about how our people serve, and about all the different ways we do it. The second thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking for ways that we can plug in and that we can serve. And if we already have a serve team that we serve on, we're going to see some other serve teams that are in place, and maybe we want to pray for those folks who are doing that, or maybe there's another one that we feel like we need to be involved in. But lastly, if there's anyone here and you're not on a serve team, you're not serving in some way in our church, As a response to the gospel this morning, I'm going to challenge you as you're going through that room to sign up for at least one serve team, one place where you're going to help. Why? So that we can be like Jesus. It's literally that important. And so that's what we're going to do as a response this morning. One more word that I would say to our younger friends this morning, because there's a lot of people in the room here this morning, and maybe you're a youth, right? Or maybe you're a child, right? The calling that God has placed on all of our hearts to serve does not have an age restriction anywhere on it. And so some of our teenagers, You're coming here and you're going to youth group and you're having lots of fun, and right? And there's all these things that are set up in our church for you, right? To show the gospel to you, to help you develop. But the Lord is saying, look, all these things, scripture reading and prayer and small groups and pizza or whatever else we're doing to try to share the gospel with you, to try to help you grow, will not get it done. What you're missing is selfless service. Who will do that? That's what takes us to the next level in our relationship with Christ. There's some young people this morning. It's time for you to step into that next level of growth for you and sign up to help on a serve team this morning so that you can be Christ-like. Friends, don't miss this opportunity. Don't. It's too important. It's too important. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to dismiss, and we're going to all walk down to the youth center down there and take a look at all of the different serve teams that we have. But before we do that, I just want to draw your attention to the weekly that you received when you got in here. Please, please take a look at that. And if you are a serve team leader, this is the time for you to go ahead and head over there and get set up. Please take a look at this that you received when you came in, this weekly. The announcements are in here. I don't have time to go through all these announcements, but they're really important, and I really want for you to pay attention to the things that are on here. I'm just going to highlight a couple. One that's not on here is the deadline to sign up for our mission trip to Belize is February the 5th. The deadline to register is February the 5th. That's 2 Sundays from today. And so you can sign up by scanning the QR code in the seat in front of you. There's a link when you go to that, when you follow that link on the QR code, there's a link on there that you can press that'll take you to register for the mission trip in Belize. Please make sure that you do that. We have about 19, 20 people registered to go so far. We're really excited. It's going to be a fun trip. If the Lord has laid that on your heart, make sure you do it. The other thing, this is the last Sunday for you to sign up for D Now at the reduced $50 rate, okay? So I want to make sure that if you have not signed up for D Now, that you do that this Sunday. I believe that there's a link on that link tree as well. If you scan the QR code in the seat in front of you, you can go ahead and register for D Now as well, okay? So make sure to do that. Students, you don't want to miss that opportunity. The last thing, February the 5th, Sunday night on February the 5th, we're going to be having our Echo Night of Worship. And so what it is just going to be a night of prayer and worship. No talking, singing, and praying. That's it. And we're going to gather together and just spend time. We've been doing 21 days of prayer as a church, and we're going to end it by spending some time together corporately praying, and we're going to do that. We're going to do that once a month, just gather together for prayer and gather together for worship. So, but our first one is February the 5th. So don't miss that. It's going to be Sunday night in the Youth Center at 5 o'clock on February the 5th. All right? Okay, that's all the announcements I've got. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to dismiss us to head down to the youth center. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all of these amazing folks in our church who love you, who genuinely desire to be closer to you, to know you more. And we just thank you for the truth in your word. God, you didn't just say, come to me, draw close to me. You actually hold our hands and draw us closer to you. You actually show us how we can draw closer to you. And thank you for the truth from your word, that if we will serve others selflessly, we will be more like you. You will make us more like you as we serve. Thank you for that truth. Thank you for that revelation this morning. Lord, be with us as we examine all the different ways our church serves today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us to places where we can plug in and serve. And Lord, also lay on our hearts people around us, needs that exist around us, and help us to have the courage, the strength, the obedience, Lord, to meet those needs in the name of your Son Jesus and for the sake of your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.